So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 1, Text Number 11. Translation. O King, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord after the ways of the great authorities is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all, including those who are free from all material desires, those who are desirous of all material enjoyment, and also those who are self-satisfied by dint of transcendental knowledge. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In the previous verse, the great necessity for attaining attachment to Mukunda has been accredited. There are different types of persons who desire to attain success in the different varieties of pursuits. Generally, the persons are materialists who desire to enjoy the fullest extent of material gratification. Next to them are the transcendentalists who attain perfect knowledge about the nature of material enjoyment and thus are aloof from such an illusory way of life. More or less they are satisfied in themselves by self-realization. Above them are the devotees of the Lord who neither aspire to enjoy the material world nor desire to get out of it. They are after the satisfaction of the Lord, Sri Krishna. In other words, the devotees of the Lord do not want anything on their personal account. If the Lord desires, the devotee can accept all sorts of material facilities. And if the Lord does not desire this, the devotee can leave aside all sorts of facilities, even up to the limit of salvation. Nor are they self-satisfied because they want the satisfaction of the Lord only. In this verse, Sri Shukadeva Goswami recommends the transcendental chanting of the holy name of the Lord. By offenseless chanting and hearing of the holy name of the Lord, one becomes acquainted with the transcendental form of the Lord, and then with the attributes of the Lord, and then with the transcendental nature of his pastimes, etc. Here it is mentioned that one should constantly chant the holy name of the Lord after hearing it from authorities. This means that hearing from the authorities is the first essential. Hearing of the holy name gradually promotes one to the stage of hearing about his form, about his attributes, his pastimes and so on, and thus the necessity of the chanting of his glories develops successively. This process is recommended not only for the successful execution of devotional service, but also even for those who are materially attached. According to Shukadeva Goswami, this way of attaining success is an established fact, concluded not only by him but also by all other previous acharyas. Therefore, there is no need of further evidence. The process is recommended not only for the progressive students in different departments of ideological success, but also for those who are already successful in their achievement as fruitive workers, as philosophers, or as devotees of the Lord. So the rest of the purport talks about offences to the holy name. So maybe we need not go into that so much, because I can speak about it if you'd like to hear about the offences of the holy name, but I'm just wondering about time, that's all. Anyway, we'll go to the ninth offence. We'll recite the ten offences. What's the risk to begin? To blaspheme the devotees of the Lord. Can you consider dedicate their lives to propagate the enchanting of the holy name? Consider names of the demigods to be equal or different from the names of the Supreme Lord. To blaspheme the late Vedic literatures. To disobey the order of the Guru. And so on. But we come to nine, and he says, the ninth offence is to instruct those who are not interested in chanting the holy name of the Lord about the transcendental nature of the holy name. If such instruction is imparted to an unwilling audience, the act is considered to be an offence at the feet of the Holy Name. So, this is what we're talking about. We're doing a series of classes on distributing the Holy Name. This is what Lord Chaitanya did. And he was distributing the Holy Name, particularly in Jagannath Puri. He was doing kirtan amongst the devotees. He went to Vrindavan for some time. He was in West Bengal for the early part of his life, but particularly he spent 6 years in South India, and he was travelling around chanting the Holy Name. People would come to the Lord and they would become so enthusiastic and enlivened that they would go away chanting, and then they'd meet somebody else and that enthusiasm would bubble over, and then that person would start becoming enriched and enthusiastic about chanting the Holy Name. In this way, the Sankirtan movement actually spread all over South India. So, India's a different situation to the West. In the West, people are not generally so attracted to chanting the Holy Name. Is that true? Actually, in some places it's like that, but in some places you go, people light up. When you go out with the Harinam party, they're actually blissful. Everybody gets a taste from it. So it is there. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita that he doesn't want to disturb the minds of those who are too much into sense gratification. You know, if you want to tell somebody something they don't want to do, it disturbs them, doesn't it? So Krishna says, don't bother, it'll just disturb you as well. But Prabhupada writes that, actually, this is not... You know when somebody tells you something and you know what they really want, but they're not actually really admitting it. No, it's okay, it don't really matter. But you know, deep down, think, he really wants me to do this. So in the same way, this is where Krishna's preaching. No, don't bother yourself. But the devotee says is more kind than the Lord. He realizes the purpose. And therefore, he'll even approach these people who are not so interested. And it's a risk. It says, it's an offense. And so a devotee has to become expert. This is why Lord Chaitanya started the chanting in India 500 years ago. And then Prabhupada, did he carry on doing the same thing? Initially, he started chanting in Tompkins Square Park, playing his bongo drum and chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, initially to get things going. And this attracted the hippies. But then he started the book distribution. And he started to organize the society so that the books could be distributed, and then people can take full advantage of that. Because he knew that, and this was actually the Brihat Madanga, his spiritual master told him, first instruction when he came to see him, you are two intelligent young boys, you shouldn't waste your life here, you should go and preach the Western speaking world in the English language. Prabhupada was taken aback. He thought he was just getting up from his first obeisance to this person and he's telling him to preach. So this was the mood. This was the mood that was passed on from his spiritual master. And so if we want to be successful in this ISKCON movement, we have to imbibe that same mood. Is that right? So we have to always question, are we actually imbibing that mood? Do you think so? You know, when people come to the temple, are we bubbling over with Lord Chaitanya's, Sankirtan movement? Oh, let's get out there. Or maybe there's another mood, I don't know. And so this is the key. When people take to Krishna consciousness, they're fresh. And they get, it's called Utsamayi, we were talking about yesterday. What does Utsamayi mean? Full of enthusiasm. Utsahan nishyandiriyat, it says in an extra instruction. They're full of enthusiasm. Krishna's giving them a taste. So that's the time to strike. Strike while the iron's hot. As soon as somebody comes to the temple, we should be, hitting them up to go out on Sankirtan. You think so? If we hit them up to go out on Sankirtan, it says, give a man a loaf, right? And feed him for a day. Right? Teach him how to bake and feed him for a lifetime. So, you know, we like say, we're going for the, here, take this loaf and give a donation. Take this loaf. But no, we have to, we train that person in the Sangatan mood, we give him the Sangatan mood, and then he'll do so much preaching. We're making life easy. But we have to imbibe that mood. We have to understand Lord Chaitanya's mood. And so even though things may not be at full throttle all the year round, this is a time when things should be really picking up, when we should really get into the mood of Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya. And then when a person's fresh, it's very easy to train them in anything. I remember there's a devotee in one of the outreach centres, I'll not go into any details, but he's a doctor. He's got an Indian body. Very, you know, very up there with society. And his wife, she's some sort of, you know, high post also. I can't remember what she... I think she might be a doctor, actually. And they're running this centre. Well, when they were taking their philosophy, their doctorate degree in medicine and, you know, getting trained up, they're in Scotland. And we all know what happens in Scotland. Scotland's the book distribution capital of the UK. And they started going to the Scottish Temple. Now you'd think, you know, the mood in Scotland would be just too much. Every word like book distribution, get out there. You know, there's no time for congregation hardly at that time. Now it's changing. But they went to the temple and they were so actually enthused. They went out on books. You know, a doctor went and his wife went on. And afterwards, when they moved to a smaller temple, after a few years of going there, the wife now goes out distributing books. And he's organised a monthly Harinam. So, you know what I mean? It's possible. It's just a matter of being confident about imbibing the mood. So this is Lord Chaitanya. This is Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada got it as soon as he paid his obeisances. So we should be in the same mood as soon as somebody walks through that door. But what happens? What's going to happen if we're going to do that? We have to be in the mood. We have to be in the Sankirtan mood. So this is a perfect opportunity. And the peculiarity about Sankirtan is that, I don't know if anybody's recognised this, that you go out on Sankirtan and you have a great day. But the next day, what's it like? I see if you have a really good day, what you like? What's it like? It's like you can't wait to get out there, can you? Let me out there, I'm going to do... You know, I did 40 books yesterday, 50 today, and then for the first hour, zilch, nothing. So Krishna's teaching us, wait a minute, steady on. It's not you. It's not about you. It's about, you know, taking shelter of me. But usually we come back off Sangatan. I remember when I first went to Manchester. No, it was actually on the Bhakta course. We used to take us out on books pretty regular. Oh, actually, when I joined in Manchester, and I had one day in the temple, and it was the fourth month of the marathon. Fourth month of the Christmas marathon. It was beginning of February. And do you like Sankirtan? What's Sankirtan? Well, you can try it tomorrow. So I'm out on Sankirtan on the marathon for a month. And I used to come back at the end of the day. I can't do that again. It's just too much. And then, you know, next morning, actually not so bad. You know, you took some prasadam in the evening, you talked to the devotees. And, you know, even though it's been difficult, I've got it wrong. Actually, you're pretty fired up, you know, you're in the mood. And then when the alarm goes off the next morning, you know, first thing, oh God, I've got to go out there again. And then, you know, so you go into the morning program and samsara dava. Then at the end of that, you know, I think, well, I've got some rounds, I feel a little bit more enlivened now. And you get through your rounds, but things are not so bad. And then there's Guru Puja, and then there's the Bhagavatam class, and there's prasadam, and you're ready again. So this is what it's like, Sankirtan's bittersweet. And so the point I'm making is that we may get fired up if we get in the, you know, for this particular month. But we have to learn the art of keeping that stoked up. And then when we learn the art of keeping in the fire, then when we speak to other people, we can put them in the fire. This is the art. Of course, we're talking about book distribution, spreading the holy name. This is the Brihat Madanga. The ordinary Madanga means we just go out on Harinam and we chant for a few blocks. But the Brihat Madanga is more far-reaching than that. By distributing a book, we can influence somebody 20 years in the future. There's people out there reading these books. And I was speaking to some devotees and said they're just waiting to help this movement. Why aren't they helping us? I think. What would you do if somebody wanted to invest something in something? Either your time or your money or whatever. What's the first thing you actually ask? Or what's the first thing you scrutinise? God, we've not got very good investors here, have we? Well, we're not used to speculating, though, are we? Person's nature. Yeah, that's a good point, actually. We look for his nature. Can I trust this person? But, you know, sometimes in business, business is pretty, there's not much trust. It's all based on, what another thing. Are these people together? Is this a good thing to invest in? I may have read the books and I can see this is the philosophy, but, are these particular people capable of implementing the philosophy and making it work? So many people are reading these books. Many people are in positions where they can really help this movement. What's this coming from? Book distribution. Somehow or other they've got hold of a book and they've been able to absorb it in their own time. They've met a devotee. Prabhupada said to Bhagavan many years ago, "What will your 10 minutes preaching do?" If you give them a book, they can become Krishna conscious. I was going to read from the Shikshamrita a few things. First thing is we have to become fixed up. We have to become confident about the process of book distribution. Remember when Prabhupada, he came here not long before he left this world. And, this is like the headquarters for the whole of Europe. Or it was then at least. Now we've got a bit of competition from Radha Desh and other places. And so the devotees from Germany, from France, from Spain, these countries were pretty near. They used to come for Prabhupada's darshan. And I think I mentioned this point before, didn't I? Anyway, it's a good point that the German devotees were doing well on books at that time, so they knew they'd be preaching Prabhupada. And they came to the manor. But they arrived a little late. Darshan had already started, so they came in. Prabhupada stopped talking. They all paid their obeisances. And then just as they were getting up, Prabhupada said, "So, what's the first instruction of the Bhagavad Gita?" And, they gave some answers. And Prabhupada said, "No, you are not reading my books." He says, "First, you have to read the books. These books are meant for the devotees. So you read these books, become fixed up, then you can give Krishna consciousness." So this is the situation, is that we become fixed up in this philosophy, and then we can, we can distribute this philosophy for the rest of this lifetime. I mean, there's many devotees who've, they distribute a lot of their books. I can name quite a few. They were big book distributors. One devotee, he came to Bolton, and we were doing a few leaflets at that time. We were collecting for the restaurant there, so we weren't giving so many books out. And next thing is that they van backed onto the precinct, and they loaded all the books, and they were from Srila Prabhupada to the altar this high. And there were two of them, and they were using the board. They used to bang the board and a few words and book out. And by the end of the day, there were just a few books left. But then, by the end of the marathon, or the next marathon, those devotees weren't around anymore. So it has to be devotional service has to be balanced. We have to be simultaneously. The devotees who maintain preaching are the devotees who understand the philosophy. If we understand the philosophy, then we can actually keep strong. If we're just actually going on the first on the initial enthusiasm, then this is when we become unstuck. So actually, devotees have come to this movement now. We're in a very fortunate position. There's more training than ever there was. There's more book distribution than, well, maybe in the 70s there was a lot of book distribution, in the early 80s. So we've got full facility to imbibe Lord Chaitanya's mood. Because, just going back in history a little while, it wasn't always like that. Probably Sharma Sundar can remember that somehow or other we should become Krishna conscious, Prabhupada said. But also this somehow or other sometimes works the other way. Somehow or other we started distributing paraphernalia. And, you know, we were selling so much paraphernalia, we had a fleet of Volvos and devotees going out distributing, you know, thousands, we were collecting thousands upon thousands of pounds. But where did it all go? Every year, at the end of the year, we didn't actually make any more profit. So, why am I saying this? Because we have to be careful that Prabhupada put book distribution very high on the barometer. That, you know, in one respect, he said, our Krishna consciousness is gauged, or the barometer of our Krishna consciousness is by how we're chanting the holy name. But he also said there's no difference between the holy name and distributing the books. It's the same. So the barometer of how this movement is successful is by how people are getting an opportunity to hear about Krishna. And I've just got some quotes here in the Shikshamrita to back this up. Here we are. So this is about the most important activity. It says, so we should now organize in such a way that there shall be nice kirtan, an attempt for selling our publications. My Guru Maharaj indicated that the Madanga and the press are the mediums of our missionary propaganda activities, and we shall follow this path in the same way. We must have large quantities of mridangas for vibrating in different parts of the world, and we must distribute our literature also. We shall overflood the market with Krishna conscious literature. That will create our prestige, and being cheap distributors, many people will learn our philosophy. My first concern is that my books shall be published and distributed profusely all over the world. Practically, books are the basis of our movement. Without our books, our preaching will have no effect. So we have to be careful, just like we got into the paraphernalia. You know, this is Maya's trick. Somehow or other, you know, we get a little bit diverted, and before we know it, we're a long way from the mark. So, you know, there's so many different types of preaching, and they're all powerful and all effective. But it should always be backed up by enough philosophy going out there. You know, we can say that our preaching, it may be successful, but it may not. So what have we got to back it up? If the books are not there, we haven't got anything, have we? You know, when you should be talking to somebody on the street, you know, if he goes away and he hasn't got a book, you know that he's just going to forget all about it. But if he's got a book, he's always something to actually fall back on. So similarly, as I was saying earlier, you know, these books are going out into the society. And even if we fail in so many other ways, you know, some intelligent person is going to pick up the book and he could start the whole thing off ball rolling again. I especially appreciate your attitude towards increasing more and more the distribution of our books. That will sanctify all other activities of preaching, because preaching means selling books. If we have a regular plan of selling books, then there will be no scarcity of money. So, you know, in material life, we're eating, sleeping, and fearing. You know, what do we fear? How will I be maintained? And so Krishna's maintaining everybody. So he'll definitely maintain his devotees. And if we follow the instructions of his pure devotee, there's no doubt that we'll be maintained. It's a little bit of a faith, it's a leap of faith. The activity, it doesn't seem to, you know, when they first started distributing books, could you, in their minds, do you think they were thinking about supporting the movement through book distribution? They couldn't distribute one book for weeks and weeks. They just couldn't do it. They managed to get the Back to Godhead magazines out. And somewhere or other, one on Harinam. But then one day they pulled into a gas station. You've probably heard this before, the Sangatan crew. And they got no money. That's how successful they were. So it doesn't seem what Prabhupada's saying here is true. And then they said, well, we've got to do something. We'll offer this book to the gas station attendant. And he took the book as payment. And then the penny dropped, ding. You know, they got the inspiration. I was thinking of something else, of how these books can be distributed. And so when we read Prabhupada's books, we might think, it's a bit safer to do it other ways. Well, we can do it that way as well. There's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, specifically, Prabhupada's making a point here that, you know, if we have book distribution, there'll be no shortage of money. So we should really seriously consider how we can, you know, make book distribution more and more prominent again. And there's different ways for book distribution. What we're doing this marathon, we're doing the door-to-door. Well, a little bit of door-to-door. Who's going door-to-door? Anybody? Who's doing the street? Put your hands up. So maybe we can inspire a few others to do the street also. All programs must go on, but it is a fact that this book distribution program is very, very important. It is real preaching work. But I think this program for TV and radio is not so important. There are so many TV programs. Someone will see us on TV, then right after they will see some other nonsense and they will forget. Therefore, it is better for them to read my books. But I think your proposal for seriously organizing the college program is first class. If this program is conducted in the proper fashion, if it can be our biggest book distribution outlet, I am convinced of this. You are an advanced devotee and you should use your intelligence to convince the professors that they should use my books in the colleges. This will be the greatest service. And inspiration. Sometimes we may have an Indian body, and most people we stop at have got Western bodies, and there's a different psychological from our culture, there may be a different psychology there. And we may feel it makes it a little bit more difficult. But I see the devotees who are doing books this Christmas marathon, the last 10 Christmas marathons, they're mostly Indian body, and they're doing more than what the others used to do before. And one in particular was one coloured devotee called Sharma. What was it? What was his name? Not Shamananda. anyway, Sham. And he was distributing books. He got a black body. And if anybody's been to the other side of Germany, there's not many people who've got black bodies because of the Iron Curtain, so many. There may be some emissaries from other countries staying there temporarily, but... Ganesham, that's it, Ganesham. And this body, Ganesham, he had a black body. And, it's like... can you imagine before the Iron Curtain was still down? I mean, even now when you go to Russia, it's still more, there's more red tape to go there. And they're a little bit more careful about people who travel into the country. But then, And you can understand by the way they see things now, what it must have been like at that time. And he was going behind the Iron Curtain, and he was distributing, you know, and religion was banned. And he was distributing sets of Srimad Bhagavatams to professors in colleges. Now that's a big risk. And it pleased Prabhupada so much. In fact, he was on fire. When he came back, Prabhupada, he was in tears and he was rubbing his head. So, you know, we've got no excuse. Whatever situation, we can distribute these books. It's not a material activity. As soon as we surrender to the process, we immediately see that there's something going on there which is not ordinary. It's not just, you know, my effort and the situation, but there's another energy working. So we were talking about... So we go on to financing. Any more on financing? Just a minute, 283. I am very encouraged by your report of how nicely our books are being distributed. This is our main business all over the world. If you give full attention to this, there will never be any shortage of funds. So I am very glad to know that in London now, this program is becoming well established. Were Prabhupada just speaking for that particular time? I don't think so. And so sometimes we may get caught up that, especially if we're young devotees, that it's a little difficult to leave our comfort zone. You know what I mean? It's in the temple, it's, you know, we've got the deities, we've got the prasadam, we've got the association, we've got a service. It's relatively, it can be our comfort zone. When we go out there, there's no deities, is there? There's only the books. Of course, books are deities. And in more ways than one, I remember one experience I had. And it took years and years before I realised what had actually happened. It must have been 1990 or something like that, early 90s, and temple president came to me in Manchester. He said, because we didn't have deities, we just had Panchatattva picture. And he says, what deity do you take shelter of? What's your Ishtadeva, or what deity do you worship? I thought, oh, I don't know. And I thought, oh yeah, I said, I like to see this, I like this On the Way to Krishna book. He's got a nice picture of Krishna on there, you know, sometimes I'll stop on Sangatan and have a look, and then I'll carry on. He says, oh, yeah, it says, I suppose, you know, for book distributor that, you know, the books are the deities. And so that was it. Like, then about, must have been 22 years later, I never thought any more about it, but it always stuck in. I thought, why did he ask me that? That's an unusual question. He never mentioned it again, and I never thought about it again. And then I was listening. I just came to the class late as usual, and it was Malati was giving class, and she was talking about her earlier experiences at Bhaktivedanta Manor, and she used to be into art, and she said, "Yes, actually, I commissioned the first picture of Radha Gokulananda, and we put it on the." On the Way to Krishna book. So all that time I'd been actually witnessing Radha Gokulananda on the book and I didn't even know. So, you know, we're always taken care of, in other words. The deities are there with us. May not always be aware of that. So actually that gave me really encouragement. Anyway, it's coming to 8:30 now. So everybody's getting ready for the next program, so we can have some questions if anybody's got any questions or any comments.